If you want to go ahead and open up your Bible to the book of Ephesians, hold your spot in chapter 2 and also in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Ephesians chapter 2 and Jeremiah chapter 17. You know, as you survey the Bible and you look in the Old Testament and you look in the New Testament, you find that the Bible only outlines two different religions in the world. It only addresses two. Now, that sounds funny because when we look around, we could say that there are many religions that are out there. I mean, you have Islam, you have Christianity, you have Confucius, you have Buddha, you have all of these different kinds of religions. You also have many different denominations and many groups of people who even attach themselves to the name of Christ. But their religion, the way they interpret the Scripture, is much different from one or another. But when you come to the Scriptures, to clear up all of the confusion that's out there, the Scripture only divides all the religions in the world into two.
That's right.
We have the religion of works, or human achievement, or human merit, and we have the religion of divine achievement, or grace,
Amen.
Or God-accomplished salvation. It's the only two.
Right.
And if you can think in your mind about those two things, and you can look at what the Scripture has to say about that, it doesn't take you long when you're dealing with people to figure out what is their religion.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it true biblical Christianity, which is accomplished by divine achievement, or are they in their life hooked up and mixed up into some kind of false religion? And so if you get the Bible's teaching on that, it makes it very, very plain. So if you'll notice in Ephesians chapter 2, very, very familiar text of Scripture, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace," he's talking to believers, "for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God," here it is, "not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Amen.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we have been saved, those who have truly been saved, those who have truly been put in a right relationship with God, only happens through Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, in the provision that God has made. In other words, those who are set right with God are those who believe what God has said is true concerning how to be right with Him.
Amen.
And what God has said is true is Christ alone and nothing mixed with that.
Right.
No works mixed for that for salvation. However, we know that the Scripture also teaches that true saving faith works.
Amen.
Right? So faith is accompanied by works. As a matter of fact, the text tells us in verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for, or unto, good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Amen.
And so it's true that every person that's genuinely been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, their life is going to demonstrate works. It's going to demonstrate practical righteousness. It's going to demonstrate holiness. And all of those different elements that we see is true of a genuine Christian according to Scripture. Now, quickly, if you'll turn over to Jeremiah now, I want you to look in chapter 17 just quickly. And I'm just going to go through this really quick. But I want you to see that Jeremiah, we could say that this is an Old Testament commentary on that New Testament truth. Because here in this text, beginning in verse 5, we find that Jeremiah the prophet is going to contrast these two different religions, as it were.
Yeah.
The religion of human achievement or the religion of divine achievement.
Amen.
Or we could say the religion of works versus the religion of grace. Okay? Notice what he says in verse 5 and notice the introductory text. Thus says the Lord.
Amen.
So you want to have a clean, straight record of what the truth is concerning these things? Listen to this text because this is the voice of God. Notice verse 5 now. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord.
Amen.
See, that'd be somebody who's counting in themselves, on themselves. They're trusting in the flesh. They're trusting in themselves or some religion to be right with God. Jeremiah 17:5, and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Notice what verse 6 says about the man who does this. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. You ever watch any of those old westerns? And you see an abandoned western town. And you know the tumbleweed that starts rolling through the city when a strong wind comes through? That's what Jeremiah's saying. He's saying that a man who trusts in himself, who trusts in the flesh, who trusts in his own arm, the reality of his life, he's like that tumbleweed. That's just blowing around and ends up out in the desert somewhere. He'll dwell in parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Now contrast that though with the religion of divine achievement, of God ordained salvation and grace. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Why would he be blessed? Because he's trusting in what God has provided. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Now notice what it says is the reality of his life. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Amen. Isn't that true of a Christian? Right. No matter the trials, no matter the trouble, no matter the persecution, no matter what happens, for someone who has entered into a relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ through grace, that is a person who's going to produce fruit, and nothing is going to stop their life from producing fruit because it's ordained. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And by the way, doesn't verse 8 there sound a little bit like Psalm 1?
Yes.
Exactly what the psalmist says in that very first psalm. Well, moving on down quickly to verse 9. Here we see, as it is, a warning. If you keep it in context of what's previously been said, Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" It's kind of a warning there because the fallen heart, the sinful heart, naturally gravitates to what? Trust in self. Yep. Works to set themselves right with God. And Jeremiah says that's a deceitful thing. The heart is desperately sick. Who can know it? Who can even know the depths of how sinful that he is? Keeping on there in verse 10. Now we see a test, not just a warning, but a test. "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds." Again, there's the test. A person can test their life to determine whether or not they are trusting in human achievement or divine achievement. And the test is, if they're trusting in divine achievement, then as we've already mentioned, their life is going to produce fruit. Their life is going to produce the attributes of God, practical righteousness and holiness, these things that we've already mentioned. Now notice verse 11. Here you see that that Jeremiah uses a bit of an illustration to, I believe, what he's doing here is he's basically saying expectations that fail is the reality of human achievement. You think about people that are trusting in themselves. They have certain expectations that when they meet face to face with God, that they're going to be okay, right? Because if they didn't think that, they wouldn't be trusting in whatever it is that they're trusting in. See, you have certain expectations as a Christian trusting in Christ that when you meet face to face with God, that you are, when the storm of judgment comes, so to speak, that you're going to be sheltered by the provision of Jesus Christ. And that's our trust, and that's what the Bible tells us to trust in, right? Because there's no way to come to the Father other than through the person of Jesus Christ. But those persons that are trusting in human achievement or works or the arm of the flesh or their own ability to be set right with God, they have those same expectations that what they're doing is going to make them right with God as well. You've heard it said, well, you can believe in your way and I can believe in my way and this person can believe in their way, and as long as we all believe strongly enough in whatever we think it is that's going to make us right with God, we're all going to end up in the same place at the end. And so it's true. For those who are on the broad way that leads to destruction, they don't think that it's leading to destruction.
Right. Yep.
And notice the text, "Like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by justice. In the midst of his days they will leave him, and at the end he will be a fool."
Yeah.
Expectations that don't go realized. The person who trusts in himself and human achievement, at the end of the day he will end up being the fool for believing in that which will not save. Well, verse 12, now we find that which gives us great confidence. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel. What's our confidence? My friend, I don't know about you, but my confidence is that God has provided a provision for me in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if Christ isn't strong enough to save me, then I'll be damned.
That's it. Right.
But Christ is strong enough
to
save.
Amen.
It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
Well, now we see the confounding here in verse 13. Not only the confidence, but the confounding. All who forsake you, the Lord, shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of the grave. It's a picture of a terrible outcome for the person who has these false expectations in human achievement. And he gives the reason here. Why is it that this is going to be their outcome? Why is it that they're going to look like the fool? Why is it that their expectations aren't going to be realized? Verse 13 again. For they have forsaken the Lord. Listen, I love this. The fountain of living water.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say to the woman at the well?
That's right.
He talked about himself. You're standing in front of that which is living water. I'm the living water. Put your confidence in me and it will spring up into everlasting life. Fountains, that's the picture. Because water is the picture of life. You've got to have water to live. And when we come to Christ, when we come to God through the person of Jesus Christ, it's like a never-ending fountain of life.
Amen.
That's the gospel.
That's right.
That's the message of the gospel. And so in verse 14, look at what Jeremiah says. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise.
Amen.
You know, we're gathered here tonight as a body because that reality is our reality.
Amen.
We're here tonight. We have come to praise the Lord and to think about what we have been given in Jesus Christ because of this great salvation that God has given us.
Amen.
We've come to praise the Lord. We know that we are healed and that we are saved only because of what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, this message is the message that needs to be taken to the world because people, aside from hearing the message of the special revelation of God concerning Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, guess what they all do by default? They turn to human achievement. And this is the only thing that knocks down those walls and sheds light on the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, we come before your throne of grace and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love towards us. And we thank you that you've made a provision for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you applied that provision to our lives. And God, you are worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of honor. And we give that to you and to your Son tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to show us deeper glimpses into the truths of who Christ is. Help us to have our minds conformed and renewed from the things of this world to the things of Scripture, to your truths, to the things that you have spoken. So that, Father, we will live worthy of the gospel, so that we will live in response of the gospel in such a way that brings glory and honor to your great name. We love you tonight and we thank you for the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.